بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We continue the explanation of verses in Surah Qaf, and the explanation reached verse 19. قال الله تعالى: وجاءت سكرة الموت وجاءت سكرة الموت بالحق ذلك ما كنت منه تحيد. And the stupor or agony of death will come in truth. This is what you have been avoiding. This stupor or agony, it covers the intellect and the mind, like the state of unconsciousness and the like. Verily, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the authentic hadith reported in Sahih al-Bukhari, he said, "Inna lil mauti sakarat." Death has its agonies, as in Sahih al-Bukhari, Volume 5, Book 59, Hadith 730. He, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said in this hadith, "Inna lil mauti sakarat." Death has its agonies. And when he said, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said here, this is what you have been and the stupor of death will come in truth, meaning that death is a reality and it is the truth, as came in the hadith in Sahih Bukhari and in Sahih Muslim, al-mawtu haqq, maut, death is true, and wal-jannatu haqq, and also paradise is the truth, and fire is the truth, because it brings forward the truth and it brings the certainty. Because at the time of death, the person will witness that which he was threatened with and that which he was promised with. Because if he is a believer, he will receive the glad tidings in paradise, and if he is a disbeliever, he will receive the news of hellfire. We seek refuge in Allah from this. Then Allah said, مَا كُنْتَ مِنْهُ تَحِيد. This is what you have been avoiding. The people of tafsir, the scholars of tafsir, differed concerning the article here, ma kunta minhu tahid. Ma, the article ma, is it a negation, an article of negation? So if the meaning will differ. So the meaning would be, this is which you will never escape. Or, if it is not a negation, it's a connective article, then the meaning will be, this is the thing which you have been avoiding, but it is inevitable to occur. So, in accordance with the first meaning, it means that this will... this is the inevitable, meaning it will definitely occur, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Al-Jumu'ah, verse 8. قُلْ إِنَّ الْمَوْتَ الَّذِي تَفِرُّونَ مِنْهُ فَإِنَّهُ مُلَاقِيكُمْ. Verily, the death from which you flee will surely meet you. Look at this term, will surely what? Meet you. Allah did not say will overtake you here, will catch hold of you. Rather, he said meet you, surely meet you. The death from which you flee will surely meet you. Then what would you think of something you flee from while it meets you? You flee from it, but it meets you. this means that your fleeing brings you closer to it in reality. So if you are running away from something while it meets you, it will surely meet you. So the more you hasten in your flight, then you will come quickly to meet it. And that's why he said, فَإِنَّهُ مُلَاقِيكُمْ, will surely meet you. In another verse, in Surah An-Nisa 478, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُوا يُدْرِكُمُ الْمَوْتُ وَلَوْ كُنْتُمْ فِي بُرُوجٍ مُشَيَّدَةٍ. Wherever you may be, death will overtake you, even if you are in fortresses built up strong and high. Because he mentioned in this verse that irrespective of the fortresses the man may build to protect himself, to shield himself from death, it will come to him irrespectively. This is in accordance with the first meaning. In accordance with the second meaning, this is the thing which you are trying to avoid and run away in your life. It has reached you. And in this verse, under all situations, there is warning from being negligent regarding the righteous deeds, and also being negligent regarding tawbah, repentance, and that the person should hasten for tawbah because he does not know when death will come to him. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in the next verse, وَنُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ ذَلِكَ يَوْمُ الْوَعِيدِ, and the trumpet will be blown. That will be the day whereof warning had been given, meaning the day of resurrection. The one who blows the trumpet is an angel. Allah entrusted him for that. His name is Israfil. And the blowing in the trumpet, the number of blows in the trumpet is two. First one, the blowing which will render people sworn away, it's preceded by the terrifying blowing. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah An-Naml 27:87, وَيَوْمَ يُنْفَخُ فِي الصُّورِ فَفَزِعَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا مَنْ شَاءَ اللَّهِ وَكُلُّهُمْ أَتَوْهُ دَاخِرِينَ. See, and remember the day on which the trumpet will be blown, and all who are in the heavens and all on the earth will be terrified. So this is the terrifying preceding the blow of which will render the people sworn away. And this came in verse in Surah Az-Zumar 39:68, وَنُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ فَصَعِقَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِلَّا مَنْ شَاءَ اللَّهِ, and the trumpet will be blown, and all who are in the heavens and all on the earth will swan away except him whom Allah will. So therefore this blowing which will render people sworn away, they will be terrified before that. They will be terrified before that. The second one is the blowing of the trumpet that pertains to the resurrection. In the next verse, ثُمَّ نُفِخَ فِيهِ أُخْرَى فَإِذَا هُمْ قِيَامٌ يَنْظُرُونَ. No, it is here. Then it will be blown a second time, and behold, they will be standing, looking on, waiting. So So therefore here what is intended in the verse we are discussing in Surah 50, and the trumpet will be blown, this refers to the second blow, to the second blowing. Because this will be a day whereof warning had been given, meaning the day of resurrection. So if someone asks the following question, the day of resurrection is a day of a threat and warning to the kafir or to the kuffar, and it is a day of promise to the believers, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here mention the threat but did not mention the promise? Well, he said the day whereof warning had been given. The answer, because the surah, all of the surah, began telling us about the lying of the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So therefore it is fit that mostly the aspect of warning and threat is dominant. So therefore it is from the wisdom to mention the threat but not the promise. Yet despite that, or in addition to that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end of the surah mentioned the people of paradise, because you know it is the same as in many surah. The Quran is mathani, meaning frequently repeated. It mentions about threat, mentions about promise, it mentions about paradise, it mentions about hell, it mentions about the people in hell, it mentions the people of paradise, it mentions the good people, the believers, it mentions the kuffar and the wicked and so forth. Is that clear? Then in the next verse, وَجَاءَتْ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَعَهَا سَائِقٌ وَشَهِيدٌ وَجَاءَتْ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَعَهَا سَائِقٌ وَشَهِيدٌ. And every person will come forth along with an angel. And an angel to bear witness. Meaning on the day of resurrection, every person, kullu nafs, every person. But it is possible, I mean, this refers to the human, but it is possible that the meaning also will cover every self, whether that of the human or of the jinn as well. The jinn who are addressed with sharia. Because if we examine the context of this verse, Allah says, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ, or before, the verses before, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ, and we have created man, وَنَعْلَمُ مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُهُ, and we know what his he whispers with himself. Here, in this verse, and indeed we have created man, and we know what his own self whispers to him. If we examine this, we know that what is intended here is the human. And if we know, if we examine that the Sharia is abiding to man as well as to jinn, and that the jinn will be also gathered on the day of resurrection, and their believers will be admitted to paradise, and their kafirs will be admitted to hell. Therefore, from this we conclude that every nafs, every self will come forth along, that this is general. And Allah knows best what is intended. مَعَهَا سَائِق, come forth along with it, an angel to drive, and shaheed, and an angel bear witness. Bear witness as to what the self had done. Because all of these angels were entrusted in writing the actions of the children of Adam, good or bad. And as was explained earlier, they write everything, good and bad, and everything spoken. But as to the recompense, it covers only that which is good and that which is bad. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in the next verse, لَقَدْ كُنْتَ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مِّنْ هَذَا, لقد كنت في غفلة من هذا. Indeed, you were heedless of this. This is an address to man, to human. And you see here, it will be said. It will be said. There is here something called from the eloquency aspect. There is a change in style from the address, direct address, to that of the absent tense. So in these verses you see the following occurring: absent and spoken to, and a speaker. These changes in style has benefit, because it attracts the person's attention instead of having the speech in the same style or quote-unquote same tone, but there is this variation in style and diversification. Take for example Surah Al-Fatiha, which we recite every day in every rak'ah from Salah. Examine, listen. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise is due to the Lord of all creation. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, most beneficent, the most merciful. Maliki Yawm Al-Din, possessor of the day of resurrection, recompense. Then listen what he said. Iyaka Na'budu. You alone we worship. It didn't say him we worship. You understand? It didn't say him we worship. So there is a change in the style. And this is known in the Arabic language. This is from the styles of the Arabic language. And it has a benefit attracting the attention of the people listening, or those who are addressed. So here in this verse, indeed you were heedless of this. Heedless. You were so much concerned with this life as if you were created for it. فَكَشَفْنَا عَنْكَ غِطَاءَكَ. Now we have removed your covering. And the hidden is exposed, and everything now is clear. فَبَصَرُكَ الْيَوْمَ حَدِيدٌ. And sharp is your sight this day. Meaning sharp, after it was blind in this life, heedless, negligent. But on the day of resurrection, as Allah stated in Surah Al-Imran in 330, يَوْمَ تَجِدُ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا عَمِلَتْ مِنْ خَيْرٍ مُحْضَرًا. On the day when every self will be confronted with all the good he has done and all the evil he has done. Then in the next verse, وَقَالَ قَرِينُهُ هَذَا مَا لَدَيَّ عَتِيدٌ. And his companion, the angel, will say, here is this record ready with me. This qareen, this companion, is the angel who was entrusted to keep, preserve his actions, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala entrusted certain angels on the right and the left who are closer than one's jugular vein to keep record of the actions of the children of Adam. And this is from the care of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala towards man. These angels know what we do, and they write and they record. They don't add to it, nor do they diminish from it. So the companion, the angel, will say, هَذَا مَا لَدَيَّ عَتِيدٌ. Here is the second ready. And it will be brought to the person, and it will be said in the next verse, أَلْقِيَا فِي جَهَنَّمَ كُلَّ كَفَّارٍ عَنِيدٍ. Cast in hell. أَلْقِيَا, both of you throw. Order from Allah to the two angels, into hell every stubborn disbeliever. But here there is something which could be a problem for the seeker of knowledge. In the previous verse, Allah said, وَقَالَ قَرِينُهُ, and his companion agent will say, here is this record. And this is singular, right? Singular, his companion. This is singular, right? طيب. While in this verse, 24, Allah says, أَلْقِيَا, أَلْقِيَا. There is a dual, أَلْقِيَا. How could it be then that the address of the singular be addressed with the dual? Be addressed with the dual context. The scholars of tafsir, differed in terms of the answer on this. Some of the scholars, rahimahumullah, said that alqiya, throw, with this term alqiya, throw, the pronoun or the noun of duality is linked to it based on the repetitiveness of the action, like saying throw. So the repetition of the verb, it is not the repetition of the doer. This is the first opinion. The second opinion, that in reference to the verse and his companion angel will say, that this singular here is of what is known as, in Arabic grammar, mufrad, singular, mudaf, and next. This is called, therefore, a next singular, his companion angel. This is called mufradun mudaf, a next singular. You know, annexation is a relation between two nouns. The first noun is called annexing, and the second noun is called annexed, and both forming the single word. You understand the annexation? You know what's the annexation? Okay? So therefore, this is referred to as annexed singular, and it is known in the language that the annexed singular is for generalization. An annexed singular denotes generalization. So they said in this, concerning 50:23 and his companion angel, they said this noun here is an annexed singular, and therefore it denotes generalization. So therefore, it comprises all that which is affirmed to be a companion. And so therefore, this and his companion would mean the two angels entrusted to record. You understand so far? You understand so far from the grammatical aspect? The singular, the next singular, his companion angel will say. They said that this is an next singular, and an next singular denotes generalization. So therefore, it comprises all that is affirmed from qareen, from being a companion, and therefore this would mean وَقَالَ قَرِينُهُ, and his companion will say, meaning the two angels entrusted. Now if someone says, give me an evidence that the mufrad, the singular, can be for more than one. Can be for more than one. Refer to more than one. Then the answer will be, take the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nahl concerning His favor. 16:18. قال الله تعالى وإن تعدوا نعمة الله لا تحصوها وإن تعدوا نعمة الله لا تحصوها. And if you would count, here they put it in the plural, but it is نعمة, نعمة الله, the favor of Allah. If you count the favor, نعمة, نعمة الله, نعمة الله. If you count the favor of Allah, never could you be able to count. Now the question to you is the ni'mah of Allah one? Is the ni'mah of Allah one favor? Question. Yes. Huh. It's not one. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as He stated in Surah Luqman, in 31:20, وَأَسْبَغَ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعَمَهُ ظَاهِرَةً وَبَاطِنَةً. الحمد لله. In Surah Luqman, verse 20, وَأَسْبَغَ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعَمَهُ ظَاهِرَةً وَبَاطِنَةً. And has completed and perfected His favors upon you. So therefore, in the previous verse, the ni'mah, yes, this is multiple. The ni'mah, which was mentioned in the singular and next form, comprises all favors. You understand? If you could count the favor of Allah, this is a singular and next. And therefore, it comprises what? All favors. Clear? Also, in addition to this answer, there is also the possibility to say that the saying of Allah, وَقَالَ قَرِينُهُ, and his companion, angel, said, it means that one of the two spoke. And there is no doubt that it is permissible for one to be a spokesman for two. Clear? Clear? This is another answer. And this is another possible answer. So now, you understand this point? The last part. Allah says, وَقَالَ قَرِينُهُ, and his companion say. And the companion is one of the two angels. And there is no doubt that it is permissible for a person to be a spokesman for two. I mean, he spoke for the two. For the two angels. You understand? طيب. Next verse. Verses 24, 25, 26. كُلَّ كَفَّارٍ عَنِيدٍ. Cast therein in hell. كل كفار عنيد مناع للخير معتد مريب الذي جعل مع الله إلها آخر. Both of you thrown into hell, every stubborn disbeliever, hinderer of good, transgressor, doubter, who set up another ilah with Allah. Then both of you cast him in severe torment. Five descriptions. First, kaffar. This is kaffar, first one. Stubborn disbeliever. This kaffar is in a format known in Arabic as mubalagha. exaggeration or amplification. Mubalagha, amplification. Why? It is said that this, because the kafir had committed many types of kufr. So if you add them all, there will be many. It is also possible to say that this format of kafara, kafarin, may not be for amplification, but rather for relatively, or an attribute, like you say najjar, carpenter, haddad, blacksmith, and the like, where an attribute to the profession. So therefore, kafar will be kafir, but the kufr is established in his heart. Wal'ayyadu billah. The kufr took hold of his heart. This is the first description. The second, anid, stubborn, obstinate, does not accept the truth, even after presenting it to him in attractive ways and clear ways, he does not accept. The third description, manna'in lil khayr, hinderer of good. So he opposes, the one who opposes the da'wah to Allah, prevents it, and withholds spending his wealth in that which pleases Allah. وَيَمْنَعُ كُلَّ خَيْرٍ, and withholds everything that is good. مُعْتَدٍ, transgressor, the fourth description. Transgressor transgresses on others. He didn't hinder the good only, but also transgresses upon others. And examine the state of the kuffar of Quraysh. What did they do to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? They prevented him, and they transgressed against him. These are four descriptions. Fifth description, murib, doubter, meaning he is in doubt and worry. Not only that, but also he raises doubts in others. Five descriptions. Then Allah said, الَّذِي جَعَلَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرٌ. This is a comprehensive statement. Who sets up another ilah, God with Allah. If this statement is meant to be a description of the stubborn disbeliever, then the meaning will be that he worships others besides Allah. And all of us know that the mushriks, the pagans, the polytheists, used to worship others besides Allah. They worshipped Al-Lat. They worshipped Al-Uzza. They worshipped Manat. They worshipped Hubal. All these idols. And every nation, or every group of them, had a tyrant. They worship this tyrant as they worship Allah. They bow to, prostrate to, they love them as they love Allah, they fear them as they fear Allah. We seek refuge in Allah from this. This is now, if we consider that the meaning is what? That this statement is a description of whom? The stubborn disbeliever. Then the meaning will be that he worships others besides Allah. But however, if we take the meaning to be more comprehensive, then it will cover every person who worships other than Allah, and humiliates himself to other than Allah. Even the merchant who has no concern except his commerce and its growth, then under this meaning he will be a worshipper of it. Even the owner of camels, whose sole concern is his camels, then he is a worshipper of his camels. The evidence that whoever busies himself in something and makes it its most his own concern and distracts him from the worship of Allah, then he is a worshipper of this thing. The evidence is in the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as in Sahih al-Bukhari, volume 8, book 76, 443, and it's also in Sahih Muslim. تعيس عبد الدينار, تعيس عبد الدرهم, تعيس عبد الخميصة, تعيس عبد الخميلة. And in another narration, تعيس عبد القطيفة. Perish the slave of the dinar. Perish the slave of the dirham. Two currencies, silver and gold. Perish the slave of the qatifa, which is thick, soft cloth. And perish the slave of khamisa, a garment. For if he is given, he is pleased. Otherwise he is dissatisfied. Abdul dinar, the slave of the dinar, this is the merchant of gold. The gold merchant. Abdul dirham, the slave of the dirham, is the merchant of slave of silver. Abdul Khamisa or Abdul Qatifa is the merchant of clothes. The Khamisa also, this is a garment, beautiful garment. And the Khamila is the merchant of Al Furush, mattresses and the like. Or may not be that he is a merchant of these things, but rather he is busy with them, distracted from the obedience to Allah. If he is given, he is pleased, and if not, he is dissatisfied and becomes angry. So the Prophet ﷺ told us that the one who makes these things his concern, and these are matters of this life, then he becomes a slave to them. And there is in the glorious Quran that which indicates that the issue of worship is more comprehensive than this. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَهَهُ هَوَى. Do you know of the one who takes his desire to be his God? So this indicates that everyone who puts forward his desire above and makes that the preference over the guidance of Allah, then he has taken that to be he has taken a God besides Allah. And from this aspect, from this angle, it is possible to say that all sins fall under shirk. From this meaning, from this comprehensive meaning, it is possible to say that all sins fall under shirk. Why? Because the person gives them preference over the pleasure of Allah and his obedience. So in this case, he takes them as partner to Allah in his worship of him and in following him. So the matter of shirk, its issue is great, its danger is profound. Even the person when he gives a charity and checks whether the people are seeing him so that they praise him and they say, MashaAllah, this is a generous person, then he is a mushrik mura'i. This is riya, this is form of shirk, show off form of shirk. And the Prophet ﷺ said, the most I fear for you is on this ummah is the hidden shirk, and it is a riya, show off. So therefore this verse, الَّذِي جَعْلَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخر, the one who has set up another ilah, God with Allah, if it is taken to mean a descriptive or description of the stubborn disbeliever, then it is particular to those who worship the images and the idols. And if it is to be taken in its comprehensive aspect, then it covers everyone who busies himself in other than the obedience of Allah and distracts from the obedience of Allah. And we have given some of the examples have been mentioned on this. Then Allah said concerning these people qualified with these descriptions, فَأَلْقِيَاهُ فِي الْعَذَابِ الشَّدِيدِ فَأَلْقِيَاهُ فِي الْعَذَابِ الشَّدِيدِ, cast him in the severe torment, and this is the torment of hell. We seek the refuge of Allah, we seek refuge in Allah to protect us by his favor and by his generosity from it. We'll stop here inshallah ta'ala to continue the next verses tomorrow بإذن الله. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.